We're going to talk about God's provision tonight. This is the last message I had planned to preach to you before I had my heart problems about finances or money. We all know that tithing, I think, is something we should do. Now, if that's correct, can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's try that one more time. Brother Mott said it loud so everybody else would follow, but maybe everybody else needs to say amen. Now, we all know, I think we all know, that tithing is something we all should do. But we may not be sure it's always going to work out. Isn't that what we're worried about? We're not really. Now, we all know we probably should because that's what the Scripture teaches. But is it going to work out, preacher, for me? Though some people may not be motivated by rewards, the Bible does speak of rewards, just as the Bible speaks of God's provision. Well, in our text setting, let's go back to Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. Jesus said something, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life." God rewards in a bountiful, wonderful way. He always rewards in a bountiful, wonderful way to those who honor Him. You must learn that if you're going to get these rewards, it's going to be because you've honored Him. In the Bible, we find some vivid pictures of that provision. This will not take me long tonight, but I want to look at five different passages very quickly. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. Let's examine five key passages relating to giving and provide ourselves with information about how good stewardship is to our benefit as believers. Do you realize that stewardship is very good for you? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." God is able. I want you to notice that little phrase, God is able. It brings us full circle here, I think. God gives to us all grace abundantly so we can have all sufficiency in all things. So God gives to us all grace abundantly so we can have all sufficiency in all things. The purpose is that we in turn can do, listen now, every good work. That's what God does it for. And it begins all over again then. As we begin to invest and as we continue to trust, God then continues to provide. Now, I know there's folks in here who have really experienced this over and over. As we give to God, He enables us to have what we need so we can give more. Have you found that out, you givers who have learned to give to God? It is so important. As we give to God, I believe it's true. He enables us to have what we need so that we can give more to God. And the more we give, the more He provides. And the more He provides, and the more He gives, the more we can give, and the more we can serve. Amen? Now, how many of you, without being just trying to show yourself, how many would say, "Preacher, I'm telling you, I know that principle works, that I have to trust God, and as I trust God and I give to God, He has proven to me, He has enabled me to give what I need so that we can give more. He gives me what I need so I can give more. And as I give more, He provides more. And the more He provides, the more I'm finding myself able to serve Him." How many of you have really, really have found that to be true? Come on. Okay, everybody look around. Keep your hands up, everybody. Now, don't raise your hand if you haven't seen that, but I'm telling you, it's true in my life, and I know it's true in yours. If you just learn to give, God will give you more so that you can give more or that you can work more for Him. You can serve Him more. The Bible teaches us that as we trust God with our resources, He provides the sufficiency we need to continue to minister and to continue to serve. You can trust God. You can trust God. See, this is on the radio tonight, and the radio folks are listening to this thought because they need to know how to give too. All right, say it one more time. You can trust God. See, that's how it needs to ring. Every time we have something that says amen, everybody needs to be saying it because the folks are listening. And you know what? Success breeds success. And positive attitude breeds positive attitude. And I'm telling you, it is the truth. You can trust God. You can count on the fact that while you are on the threshold sometimes, it seems, of making decisions, and it's frightening sometimes because the threshold looks a little frightening. What pushes you over the edge is this truth. God can be trusted, and God will provide. I know there are people in this church tonight, I know there are, who sacrificially have given over other share-a-thons to our radio station, and they told me personally that they were blessed. Again and again. When they went the extra mile, it's kind of exciting to me to go the extra mile and see just what God has in store. You never know how God's going to do it. Now listen, don't always think it's going to be financially rewarded back to you. Don't think that, because there's so many other things in life that you can get from God and a blessing from God, not just financial. So kind of remember that, if you will, please. God's cycle of sufficiency is one way we know that we can trust Him, and He can be trusted to provide everything we need. Roman numeral number 2. I'm only going to go to 5. Roman numeral number 2. Now, that first one was God's cycle of sufficiency. The second one is the windows of heaven. Oh, the windows of heaven are open. God's blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my soul. Sis, Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Help me. The windows of heaven are open. God's blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my soul since Jesus made. I gave Him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Are you happy? Amen. See, one day you gave Him your old tattered garment. You said, God, I am a rotten sinner. And you came to God just as you were. You trusted Jesus Christ, and He gave you a robe of pure white. What a God we serve. The windows of heaven. What's Malachi chapter 3? Verse 10 say, let's look at it. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. When I think of giving, or maybe when you think of giving, maybe you begin to worry. Do you do that? When I think about giving, you think about, oh, Share-a-thon, do I need to give? Can I do it? Can I give? Can I trust God? you and I both need at that point to put into our minds this picture. God in heaven has shown that when I am faithful to Him, He will open up this gigantic window of heaven and pour out a blessing upon me that's so incredibly great that I will not be able to receive it. That's what I need to picture in my mind. The Bible does not say that all the blessings will be financial. Remember, I told you that. Although they may be, but doesn't necessarily mean they will be. The people in the kingdom of God who are the most blessed are those who have taken the truth to heart and now practice it day in and day out. God has promised in His Word to bless us. Let's go around the room very quickly, please. If it's not financial, how in the world does God bless me? All right, I'm giving to God. I step out and I give to God. Get ready. I want to hear some comment. Just raise a hand so I can call on you and point at you. And I want you to say it loud and clear so the radio folks can listen to you too. If it's not always financial how God blesses, how in the world does God bless? He says He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot contain it. Help me out, Brother John. Go ahead. Winning people to Christ. Yes, ma'am. Good health. Good neighbors. Truth. Answers to prayers. Makes things last. Keeps us safe. Who else? What can God do or what does God do? It's not always financial, Robert. Christian family. Bible. Friends. Exceeding joy. Bonnie. The reins that we need. Corby. Get over addictions. Yeah. Love God. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Brother Ramirez. Peace. What else? Anybody? The windows of heaven are open. Yes, ma'am. Talents. A giving heart. Grace. Anyone else? The windows of heaven are open. Yes, ma'am. Hope. Hope. God's blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in our hearts. Says Jesus made everything right. The windows of heaven. God's promised us so many things. His Word to bless us. His Word to fill us up. The Holy Spirit of God to bless us and fill our cup. Don't you like getting up in the morning and singing the songs of the faith? And no matter if you have a little sickness or a little cough or a little whatever, aren't you glad your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Aren't you glad you can feel it in your soul? Wow, it's great to get up and say, I'm a child of the King. Wow, I am somebody. Because Jesus Christ has made me that way. Roman numeral number 3, the bank of heaven. God's cycle of sufficiency, the windows of heaven, the bank of heaven. The third passage is Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We're talking about God's provision. If we go back and look at Philippians chapter 4 in the context, we see that it is a financial passage. People often quote this verse in reference to other things as if the verse were kind of theirs unconditionally, but it's not an unconditional promise. The verse is a conditional promise. It's not an unconditional promise. It's a conditional promise based on what God has talked about in the rest of the passage, which has to do with trusting Him as we give. That's the whole context. God, through the Apostle Paul, says to us, you don't have to worry. Now listen closely. You don't have to worry when you are faithful in your giving. For your God in heaven will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. As you give, you don't have anything to worry about. Amen. The picture I believe the Bible offers here is that God has a bank, And when you give, you are making an investment, and that investment is for eternity. The investment is in the incredible bank of heaven. Jesus Christ himself is the chief executive officer of that bank. The passage says that God will supply our need from that resource. Now notice something. Notice some five characteristics of his promise. His promise is personal. How do I know that? But my God. It's a personal promise. My God. He's my God. Shall supply. That's a positive statement. Not maybe, not hope so. He shall supply. Now he's my God. It's a personal thing. And he shall supply. That's a positive thing. What? All your need. That's a pointed thing. He's going to talk about what you need, and he's going to supply all of your need. Listen, the radio station, we have a share-a-thon going on. Is God going to meet the need or not? I don't think we ought to worry ourselves. Are we going to get the money? Are we going to have it? Is it going to happen? Yeah, it's going to happen. Why? Because God said so. Is the church going to work? I mean, as long as we live right and do right and honor God, is God going to bless the church? Yes, he will. Will all the need be met? Yes, it will. Why? How do I know? Because the Bible says, my God shall supply all your need. That's a point of thing. Now, according to what? According to his riches in glory. That shows me plentifulness. According to his, how rich is he? How rich is he? Didn't I tell you just the other night, he owns it all? God, according to scripture, owns it all. How rich is he? He's the richest man in the world. You don't know anybody any richer. Why? Because he owns it all. He has it all. It's all his. Everything belongs to God. According to his abundant riches. According to his riches in glory. And then it is in Christ Jesus himself. That's a powerful promise. It's in Christ Jesus himself. Is Christ Jesus real? Folks are listening. Sound like a Presbyterian church. Amen. Is Christ real?
Yes.
If he's real and he says to you, I'm going to give to you according to my riches, he's the richest person we know. He's going to supply every single need for you. Listen, we need to really be encouraged tonight about God's provision. We need to notice that it does not say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. He says, I am well, if I am wealthy and I am asked to give to a certain cause and I give out of what I have, it could be any amount or small or great. But if I give according to what I have, God's going to give you not what he's got in the bank. He's going to give according to what he has. What's he have? Everything. I'm telling you, there's nothing you ought to have a need for. That's why we can give. That's why we can give again. And that's why we can give again. Because God, as he sees you become the giver, guess what God's going to do? He's going to give to you again. He's going to give to you again. He's going to give to you again. Now, if you do this, and this is my little sermon I preach a lot. You know, you go to God and you pray. And you go, oh God, I need to get my car. I need a house payment. And God, please. And he gives it to you, and you go, woohoo, great. And you walk away, and you got pants pockets real puffy. Man, God's been good to me. Before long, you're going to go back to God, and there's going to be nothing. But if you do this, Brother Mott, stand up here. If you do this, come on, Barry, come up here. over here. Come on, Joe. Come on, Joe. Now, I know he won't give it to you. So. And guess what God does? He keeps giving. You know why? Because now you're a conduit, not a reservoir. Be a conduit for God. Take what God gives and run over here and give to somebody else. And always remember God's pattern. What is God's pattern for giving? Giving to the local church and then to missions and then to radio and then to friends and so on and so forth. But give to God. And as you give to God, God gives to you again. And then you'll give again. And all of a sudden you'll have more money than you've ever had. You say, it don't work for me. Because you've never, ever, ever put it to practice. If you would just put it to practice, you'd be surprised. There's people who never, ever, ever had a school bill. And they heard about Christian school one day. And they already gave the church financially tithes and offerings, but they wanted their kids to go to Christian school. But it's a bill. It's a big bill. It's not an easy bill to pay. But as they are faithful in doing that, I'm telling you, God provides. I've had people tell me, preacher, it's unbelievable how God does that. But when we put Him first, and always give Him first, God meets every single need. Look at the assets in God's bank. Look what I have, God says. I'm going to supply you according to what I have. He's got it all. Number four. Full barns and overflowing vats. Proverbs chapter 3, look at it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine of all thine increase. So shall thy barns, what to say, be filled with, what's that word? Plenty, with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The Old Testament barns and vats were the basis of the economy. So the picture is one of productiveness to the point of excess. God doesn't want to provide for you only minimum. I don't think God wants to just give you the minimum. I never have thought that. I think God wants to give you overflowing. Didn't He say you couldn't hardly receive it? He wants to give you to overflowing. If all of us would just try this and live like this, we'd be so happy, and we'd have things to give to folks and stuff to give away and money to give instead of sitting there being the old grouch and I can't pay my electric bill. And I'm telling you what, I don't have any shoes. I need to buy shoes. And you'd have everything you need if you just put God first. He doesn't want to give you just enough. He doesn't want you. I don't think God wants anybody to live from paycheck to paycheck. I really don't. He wants to prove to you you can trust Him. You can take Him at His word. He's a God of abundance. He wants you to give more than you can imagine. The Lord of glory has said, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to provide your needs. And He has a lot of wonderful ways of doing that. Now, I could go probably to folks and ask you, how did God prove that to you? And you could probably tell me story after story. It's kind of interesting to hear those stories, but I'll give you one that my dad, I've told this dozens of times, but my dad was a tither. He was a tither from day one. I mean, we kids went to church. Dad always gave tithe and offerings. Missions, Indian missions, foreign missions. He's always a giver, big giver. That's why I suppose everybody in the church thought we were the rich people. We weren't, but Dad was always just giving. Every little thing came up, Dad gave, you know, $20, $30, $40, I'll just give. And God blessed us so much in our home, though, and we had so many blessings. I remember one time when Dad lost, his shop went on strike. Sohio Refinery, he was a machinist at the Sohio Refinery, and they went on strike. and there was no job. And when you're on strike, you get no pay. You're on strike. And so Dad found a little gas station to work at, just to make a little money for the kids. There were six kids in the family. And he wanted to provide for the six kids. And the strike lasted 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. And it started to get really tight. So he got this job and pumping gas and cleaning windshields. In those days, they still cleaned windshields and so on and so forth. And then she paid him. It was a lady who ran the business. And she paid him the first week and the second week. And not much. It was just a little bit of money, but enough to help buy some food for the kids and stuff. And then she finally said, "Mr. Lewis, I'm sorry. This week we have no money. I can't pay you anything." And then she said, "Do your kids like bun candy bars? How many of you know what a bun candy bar is?" And I like bun candy bars myself. And she said, "Do your kids like bun candy bars?" "Oh, my kids like any candy," he said. "Yeah." She said, "Well, we can't pay you this week, but there's a big box of bun candy bars in the back, and I'm going to pay you by bun candy bars." Dad said, "I'll take it." This great big box, I'll never forget. He brought this big box. Tom and I, my brother, had to help carry this box in. It was this wide. It was this tall. It was full of bun candy bars. Little round things about this big, right? About how big they are. Something like that. And that box was just full. And this was such a good lesson that Dad taught us. He dumped, they said, "Okay, boys, come on, girls, let's dump this out on the floor." We dumped that whole big box of bun candy bars, and they spread all over our living room floor, just everywhere. And everybody's, "Oh, he was all excited, jumping and playing." And man, we had a ball, you know. And then Dad said, "Okay, let's count them, and then we're going to give 10% to the church." You talk about a lesson about giving. That did it for me. We counted every one of those. I think it was 750. I don't know. It was a whole big bunch of bun candy bars. And we sacked up 75, took them to the church on Sunday morning. When the offering plate came around, Dad handed the usher that bag of bun candy bars. It was awesome. They looked at that and they said, "What's that?" "It's our tithe." It was awesome. You talk about showing a lesson, though. Tithing works. Giving to God works. There was a point in time when, and I think David Jeremiah tells this story, Dallas Seminary, after 1924, I believe it was, came to a point of almost bankruptcy and was going to shut down. All the creditors came to a foreclosure meeting at noon at the bank on a particular day. And that morning, the founders of the school met in the president's office to pray that God would provide the money. In that prayer meeting, there was a Bible teacher there. How many ever heard of Harry Ironsides? Yeah, I got a lot of his books. What a writer, what a preacher. And Harry Ironside was asked to pray, and when it was his turn to pray, he reportedly said, refreshingly in a candid way in his prayer, here's how he prayed, "Lord, we know that the cattle on 1,000 hills are thine. Please sell some of them and send us the money." That's how he prayed. Just about noon, while the meeting was still going on, this is a true story, a tall Texan in cowboy boots, open collar shirt, strolled into the seminary's business office. "Howdy," he said to the secretary. "I just sold 2 carloads of cattle in Fort Worth. I've been trying to make a business deal go through, but it just won't work. And I feel God wants me to give the money to the seminary. I don't know if you guys need it here or not, but here's the check." And he handed it over to the secretary. Well, the secretary of the seminary took the checks, knowing the critical nature of the hour, to the door of the prayer meeting and timidly knocked on the door. Dr. Lewis Speary Schaefer, who's another great writer, founder and president of the school, answered the door and took the check from her hand. The check was in the exact amount of the debt. Then, as the check was given to Harry Ironsides, the fellow who gave him the check said, "Hey, Dr. Ironside, Harry, God sold the cattle. Here's the check. Now you say, oh, that didn't happen. Oh, yeah, it did. And there's stories like that, no doubt, that you could tell about. Of things that happened in your life. That's how God works. God can really make that happen. He can make it happen in not just an institution's life, but your life. Roman rule 5, and I'm done. God's incredible harvest law. Let's look at the law of the harvest. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Let's just close with this. Give, and what's it say? Okay, let's do it loud and clear. Give, and it? All right, give, and it shall be given unto you. There it is. That's right from God. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Galatians presents it this way, if you sow a little. Galatians says, if you sow a little, how much you reap. If you sow a lot, you reap a lot. So if you sow a little, you reap a little. If you sow much, you'll reap much. By the way, you reap what you sow. We all know that, don't we? That's God's wonderful picture of the harvest. Now, this may be the most powerful verse in Scripture concerning what happens to us when we give. What does the harvest law say? You reap only if you reap only if you sow. If you don't sow, you don't reap. Thank you. You reap only what you sow. If you sow corn, you don't reap beets. If you sow corn, you reap corn. That's the law of harvest. Whatever you sow, the principle of identity says you reap what that sowing is. You reap more than you sow. One little kernel of corn dropped in the earth, it dies and comes back to life, shoots up a stalk. How many ears are on that stalk? Two, at least, right? Most cases. Can there be three? Yeah. How many kernels on each ear? What was that? A lot. 72. Do you ever count them?
On them little ears, there's 72.
Let's just say there's 100 on each ear. Now hold it. You put one kernel in, and you got 200 kernels back. That's pretty good. You always reap more than you sow, correct? You reap later than you sow. Now here's what we have to understand. The farmer, the head back there is a farmer. Do you plant or just have a... You plant corn, wheat, okay? All right. So when he plants, the farmer knows he doesn't reap tomorrow. Ed knows he can't reap like that. He plants on one day, puts a seed in the ground. Sometimes we want the, sometimes, especially with God, we want to harvest the same day. The same day we plant, but you can't do that. You reap later than you sow. I'm telling you, that's how it is in relationships and everything else too. Don't you expect relationships, if you're fighting with somebody, don't you expect relationships to change overnight? You plant a good seed, it may take a while for that relationship to develop properly. Let it develop. Let the business plan you're doing develop properly. Let the savings develop properly. We talked about savings the other night. Some of you about had a heart attack when I said you could have $10,000 in a couple of years. But honestly, you could if you wanted to, if you really worked at that. But give us some time. You see, the law is so important, you reap later. We don't reap that day we sow. We reap later than we sow. Some sow only a little bit. Then they ask, where's my harvest? The harvest comes after the sowing, and we have to be willing to wait for the interval. But if you reap little, if you plant little, you reap little. If you plant a lot, you reap a lot. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Last verse. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work. You see, we may not remember, but God is not going to forget. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, he's not talking just about preachers. He's talking about lay people who are going to minister to the saints. This is so important. God's harvest law says that if you put seed in the ground, you will reap a harvest. God said it, and because God said it, it's true, you can believe it. When we put together all of these pictures, we can understand, I think, one simple thing. We cannot use an excuse for not giving to God and not use the misconception that, well, he won't provide for me if I do this, and I'm going to be in trouble. No, God says, you can trust him. You can. We give because it's right and God provides. If we can take God at his word for personal salvation, and we should, for personal help and personal protection, and we should, then why not take him in the realm of finances as well? God can meet every need. Think about this and I'll be done. Ladies, if you'll be so kind to come. If you are on the move toward eternity, and by the way, we are all on the move toward eternity. Remember that you are always moving toward your treasure. Remember this now. If your treasure is in eternity, you are always moving toward your treasure. If your treasure is here, you're always moving away from it. If you are on your way to something important, you will understand that it doesn't make a difference if you travel a little lighter down here. The goal, the joy of investing in eternity, is awaiting us someday in the future. Where is your treasure? If your treasure is here, someday you're going to move away from your treasure. And right now, you are moving toward eternity. If your treasure's here, oh, my house, my car, my money, someday you're going to be moving away from your treasure. But if your treasure's in heaven, lay not up treasures for yourself upon this earth. Lay up treasures in heaven. Then you're moving toward your treasure. I'm getting closer to my treasure all the time. Oh God, help me to learn how to give. Help me to learn how to be a giver, a tither, a giver to radio, a giver to Sunday school, a giver to missions, a giver to school. Help me just be a giver. And God, help me to understand, the more I give, the more I'm able to give. And help me teach this to my family.